Obviously, Psalm 145 is nearing the end of the book of Psalms, the end of the fifth book of the collection of Psalms. And by the time you get to this point, there is almost exclusively songs of praise. There are no more laments. There are no more cries for help. It is, by the time you get to this point, almost exclusively the people of God rejoicing in what God has done. Something of an anticipation of that day of the fullness of joy that is coming even for us beyond suffering, beyond disappointments, into the unbounded praise and glory of God. And Psalm 145 is one of those psalms, a psalm of praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. Let's give our attention to this word of God. It is for us. It is for our good. Let us listen with faith and hope and love. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts on the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks, O Lord, and all your saints will bless you. They will speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of the power of your power to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we desire to be the people that you have created and redeemed us to be a people who are like you, renewed in your image, made to reflect your character, to walk in your ways, made to fellowship, to commune, to rejoice in you and with you. And so we pray that by your word, you would transform us, that you would renew us, that you would send your spirit into our hearts to root out those areas of sin that remain, of the darkness that is still there, that the light of the glory of Jesus Christ may shine in us and through us. In his name we pray. Amen. As people who live in this country, we are in a particular season right now, a season that happens every year at this time. At the end of November, we are in a season of Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving or gratitude is and ought to be a very important part of our life. As we, who, as creatures of God, but also as the sons and daughters of God, as his children, thanksgiving ought to be and is an important part. part of our lives. However, as we indicated this morning already, there is already something at work in our hearts, something that stands against thanksgiving and gratitude. And we, unfortunately and sinfully, tend to be an ungrateful people. We presume far too often about God and His gifts for us. We gripe, we moan, we grumble, we take for granted things that God gives to us on just about every level in our lives. And I find it interesting that in Romans 1, that Paul, as he speaks about man's fundamental problem, is that he lists a number of things as sort of being equal, as sort of a conglomerate problem that man has, is that he fails to give honor to God as God. He fails to worship the Creator rather than the Creator, and that he fails to give thanks to God. Like, Paul sees those sins as very similar to each other, on the same level with one another. We don't often think of ingratitude on the same level as idolatry or the kinds of things that Paul lists in Romans 1. But there it is. A refusal to give thanks to God is a refusal to worship and serve Him as He ought to be worshiped and served. And the reason why is not hard to grasp. The reason why Paul puts those things together is not difficult, is because an ungrateful heart is a heart that is completely out of step with God. And gratitude or ingratitude strikes at the very heart of our relationship to God. It is a refusal to hold the Lord as He truly is. It is a refusal to understand and to recognize our place under His care and dependent upon His goodness and provisions at every moment in our lives. But for those who are united to Jesus, bound to Him, the Lord is working in us, again, the grace of gratitude. Gratitude isn't something because of our sin. Gratitude isn't something that we conjure up. Gratitude is, again, a gift from God that He works in our hearts. And much like faith and love and hope, it is worked in our hearts through the preaching of the gospel. It is worked in our hearts as the Spirit convinces us of how good God really is, and how glorious and wonderful His provisions are. The Spirit begins to persuade us that a proper response is a response of gratitude and thanksgiving to the Lord. And so He takes our selfish hearts, our ingratitude, and He replaces it with hearts of humility and gratitude. He cleanses and He washes us by His grace and power. But this means something. This means that as we grow in Christ, our thankfulness should also be growing. That we should never, ever wear out the gratitude in our hearts for the things that God has done. No matter how long we have walked with the Lord, no matter how many times we have already given thanks, no matter how many times we have heard of God's works and His ways, to grow in the grace of Christ is to grow in our thankfulness to the Lord. It is to grow in an appreciation for who God is and the gifts He gives and how much we don't deserve anything that He bestows upon us. Now, that is not to say that every act of thanksgiving is the same. That there are levels of gratitude, even that you can see within the Scriptures. We may be thankful for the Lord, may be thankful for everything that the Lord gives us. But it doesn't mean that our gratitude is identical in every circumstance. So for instance, think about this illustration. You have a husband and wife, and the husband or the wife cooks dinner or does the dishes, and what do you say? Thank you. Right? I appreciate that. I appreciate your work. That was a delicious meal, or thanks for doing the dishes, or thanks for cleaning up, or whatever. That is very different than if your spouse gives to you a new car, a diamond necklace, or something that is very intimate in terms of a gift that they have made or done something for you. That has a different kind of expression of gratitude. And it comes out in different ways. And we shouldn't feel that, even with respect to the Lord, we shouldn't feel like that's wrong to have different expressions of gratitude towards the Lord. And so we can give thanks to the Lord for a hot meal and a warm home. And this is fitting, and this is appropriate, and this is important for us to do. It's important to cultivate that kind of thankfulness in the home. But doesn't that sort of pale in comparison to this scene? Then I looked, and I heard around the throne, and the living creatures, and the elders, the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and the sea and all that is in them, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped. Do you see the difference between humbling oneself and giving thanks for food and shelter, and the church united together in the entire created order, united together in praise and worship for what the Lamb of God has done? We shouldn't think that every expression of gratitude is identical, or even that it needs to be identical, any more than it is in the relationships that we have with our spouse or brothers or sisters or family or friends. To give thanks to the Lord can be in a variety of ways, but it should be there present in all things. Now, here are some synonyms to thanksgiving in the scriptures that will help us understand the variety of ways in which we give thanks. And this first one may be a little bit surprising to you. Normally, when we think of synonyms for thanksgiving, we think of praise or worship. But listen to Psalm 75:1, where recounting is the same thing as giving thanks. "We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks, for your name is near. We recount your wondrous deeds." There, in terms of the symmetry of that line of the psalm, to give thanks is the same thing as to declare and to recount the things that God has done. It's not just a recitation of the things that God has done. Yeah, God did this and this and this. To recount means to declare, to boast in, to glory in the things that God has done. This is a form of thanksgiving. When the church lifts up its voice and remembers and speaks about the things that God has done, and remembers and recounts his deeds, that is a form of thanksgiving to God. And this is why we read from Psalm 145. Part of the life of the church is that fathers and mothers, is that pastors and elders, is that they declare the works of the Lord to the next generation. That part of what life in the church is that those who have seen and those who know and those who give thanks to the Lord are the ones who are communicating that and declaring that to the next generation. And with it, when this is done, The psalmist speaks of it as giving thanks to God. This is what God has done for us. Listen, right? That's what the psalmist is saying, is that we will declare his kingdom. We will declare his goodness. We will declare his ways, his character. We will speak of it. We will declare it. And when that is done, even in the context of the church, not even in the context of our homes, in the context of the church, when that is done, the psalm says that this is giving thanks to the Lord. To give thanks, another synonym is to acknowledge God. That is to acknowledge him as the source of blessing. To acknowledge God as the creator and the sustainer. In Romans 1, Paul uses give thanks or acknowledge him in very similar ways, because they are in many respects synonymous ideas in the scriptures. And so thanksgiving can be a prayer. Thanksgiving can be a song. Thanksgiving can be simply a proclamation and a recounting of the things that God has done. And so what are the things that we ought to give thanks for? What are the things the Spirit is working in our hearts to give thanks for? The first, of course, is God's role in creation. The first is that he is the Father over all, that he is the supplier of all good things, and that he is the sustainer of a world which is in rebellion against him, that he continues to bless, that he continues to shower down good things because this is his world. This is his creation. And though we as human beings are living in rebellion to him, this is the world that he created, and he continues to pour out his goodness. He continues to supply for us the things that we need. If he were to stop, but for a moment, this world would return to chaos and to disorder. But our God's glory is seen in all things, and he sustains and supplies. And this is something he perpetually does, day after day, even moment by moment. To give thanks to God means that we acknowledge that what we have here in this life, even our sustained being here in this world, is a gift from him. 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul writes that foods that are created are to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. Did you notice that Paul combines God's role in creation and our ability to eat and to drink with gratitude in our hearts? That it is to give thanks to God because he is the one who made all of this. He is the one who sustains all of this. And for those who believe, for those who have faith and believe the truth, he says, what ought to characterize you is to give thanks and to receive what God has given to us. Not only do we give thanks for God sustaining us, and that is particularly in view in the Thanksgiving season, isn't it? As we eat and as we drink with joy and celebration, more food than we should possibly eat. But it's just part of the celebration that God has been good, that God has been good for another year, that he has sustained and strengthened us. And so we get together with family and we get together with friends and we rejoice. And that is good. If our hearts are filled with thanksgiving, because God is the one who gives these things. We also give thanks, though, for God's name. For God's name. This is such an important part of the scriptures. God's name. What exactly is God's name? God's name is God as he reveals himself. God's name is the particular ways in which he reveals himself, and very often he will attach a name to the way in which he is revealing himself, so that we know that the name of God is how he speaks to us and how he reveals himself to us. Most often, his names convey his character and his ways and his works. And so we give thanks to his name. Listen to Psalm 30, verse 4. Sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints. Give thanks to his holy name. That is to praise, to give thanks to who he is and who he has revealed himself to be. Psalm 44, 8. In God we have boasted continually, and we will give thanks to your name forever. Psalm 54, 6. With a freewill offering I will sacrifice to you. I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good. Saints, I hope you are thankful for the way in which God has revealed himself in his word and in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That he has revealed himself to be good and powerful and mighty and compassionate and saving. I hope that you are grateful that God has shown himself to be that kind of God. We're not even talking yet about the things he does because he is that way, but simply because he's that way, that you are thankful for God's character, that you are thankful for the consistency of the things that he does, that you can count on him and give thanks forever and ever for his name because it is good. But we can sort of get more specific, can we not? Not just his name, that is his character and the way that he reveals himself, but the things he does, the specific acts that he performs. Giving thanks for the work of salvation. Now for us, I imagine that this elicits the most profound thanksgiving in our hearts. That there is nothing that produces in us that sense of overflowing gratitude, that sense of complete thankfulness than when we recount what God has done for our salvation. And the reason why is because of the depth of our sin, right? One of the reasons why we are so thankful for salvation is because we have come to grasp how lost we really were. The depth of our sin, the scope of our sin, the gravity of our sin, the ubiquity of our sin, it is everywhere. Our sin pervades everything we said and thought and did. Our lives in rebellion against God. And yet, what does God do? Is that even when we were yet sinners, he loved us and he sent his Son and Christ died for us. Even when we were in the depths of sin, maybe even better, because we were in the depths of sin, did our God send his Son into this world. And we have God's love and grace and mercy and compassion. And we have Jesus' humility and suffering and death and resurrection and exaltation and intercession for us. That this ought to elicit the most profound expressions of gratitude and thanksgiving. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner. And she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house and brought an alabaster flask of ointment. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he said, say it, teacher. A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one, I suppose, for whom canceled the larger debt. And he said to him, you have judged rightly. Then turning, toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. Luke 7. Now, there's something about this story, isn't it? Isn't there? There's something about our own hearts revealed inside of a Pharisee that we can be cold or become indifferent. We might even become suspicious of the extravagant expressions of gratitudes and love that other people make towards the Lord. We might look down on ways in which other people express gratitude towards the Lord. But we need to be very careful about that. We don't want to evidence the heart of the Pharisees, but we ought to also wonder if our hearts understand what this woman understands. And we need to remember this, that Jesus is worth every ounce of extravagance that we can imagine. As extravagant as this woman's expressions are, she still does not give what Jesus deserves. Saints, our hearts and our lips ought to be filled, saturated, and overflowing for what the Lord has done for the salvation of his people. For what the Father has done, for what the Son has done, for what the Spirit has done. Our hearts ought to be filled with the most extravagant forms of thanksgiving. Now there is one danger in that second point, giving thanks to God for the things that he has done for us in salvation. There is one danger, and you're probably wondering, what in the world could you possibly be talking about? What could go wrong with giving thanks to God for his saving power directed at us? There is a danger that thanksgiving can lead to an exclusive posture before God. That is, that we can become so focused on what God has done for us that we can think at some level that we are therefore special. Have you ever considered that? That you could be so grateful and so thankful that you are the object of God's love and care and saving power, that you, in a sense, convince yourself that you're special because of that. There is a danger in which you become exclusive of that love that God has shown to you. And what is the remedy? What is the remedy so that thankfulness does not turn into presumption? That thankfulness does not turn into exclusiveness, but rather inclusiveness. What is the remedy in terms of giving thanks to God for the things He has done? It is the next point. The remedy is this, is that as much as we give thanks for what God has done for us, we give thanks for what God is doing in others. Beloved, our mouths ought to be open, our hearts giving thanks for the things that God is doing in other people, for the blessings that He showers, not simply upon us, but upon other people. Our lips ought to be filled with praise for what God is doing in the lives of other people. Listen to 1 Corinthians 1:4. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given to you in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. Paul is profuse in his thanksgiving for the things that God is doing in other people's lives, for the ways in which God's grace is not just in his own life, but in other people, and the way in which God is at work in the lives of others. So profound is this that listen to Paul's instructions to Pastor Timothy as he thinks about leading worship, as he leads the people of God. He says, first of all, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people. Not just praying for people, but that thanksgivings would be made for all people. That we are grateful, not simply because we have received God's grace in Christ, but because others are receiving God's grace in Christ. You see, this is the remedy to selfishness and exclusivity. This is the remedy of thinking somehow we are special because we have received it. And it's so easy to turn thankfulness into specialness rather than saying, we are grateful for what we have received, and we are grateful for what others are receiving as well. For us, it is important for us to give thanks for what God is doing in other churches and in other denominations. In this sense, the OPC is not special at all. It is not the special object of God's grace and power. God is at work in the world. He is at work in the OPC, but He is at work outside of the OPC as well. We cannot simply give thanks for the things that God does for us. We must devote ourselves in thanksgiving for the things that God is doing outside of us, in the lives, churches, and denominations around the world. But we can get even more distant from self-centeredness and being ingrown. Not only does Paul give thanks for the things that God is doing in other people's lives, but Paul then gives thanks for them as the special objects of God's love and care and grace. Not simply what God gives to them, but because they are sons and daughters of God. Listen to Ephesians 1:16. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. There, the point isn't simply what God has given to them, does Paul give thanks, but for them in particular, because they are the objects of God's love and care. Colossians 1:3, we thank God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you. 1 Thessalonians 1:2, we give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers. You can see how that strikes at selfishness. The remedy to having a self-centered, hoarding heart is to give thanks for what God is doing in other people's lives, and then to give thanks for those people in particular. Now, saints, at Covenant, we have much to be thankful for. We have much to recount in terms of God's faithfulness to us. Just think about your history. Think about those who made early sacrifices for the sake of even starting a church here. Think about the time, the energy, the prayers, and the efforts of what God was doing nearly 20 years ago in this church. Think about those who came and talked with the folks here about starting a new church. What does it look like to start a new church? Think about the brothers that came alongside of this church, the pastors and the elders who came alongside of this church and walked with this church in the very beginning, in the early stages of its life and its existence. Think about that first steering committee. Most of you probably don't even remember that first steering committee of the people who would talk together and counsel together and try to make decisions as the church was getting going. These are all of the things that we can be thankful for, God's work in our lives. Remember Pastor Todd and Cheryl Bordeaux for his preaching and teaching ministry here, for the building up of the church here in this place, for training our first elder, George Stanton. How we can thank the Lord for the Stantons, for what God did through them and in them, in their sacrifices to our church, how George labored as the only elder for so many years. How about our musicians? How many musicians has the Lord blessed this church with over the years? There are so many churches that would love to have half as many musicians as the church has blessed this, as Christ has blessed this church with. How about Christ's love in the fellowship of this church for rejoicing with those who have rejoiced and weeping with those who have wept? How about giving thanks for the Diblers? Giving thanks for their many years of sacrifice. For John's service as an elder, first with George and I, and then with Steve Pfaff, and now by himself. How about the Pfaffs? Steve and Diane and their service to our church. Steve's service as an elder, and his many sacrifices for the good of this church and then the good of Colville. How about our Sunday school teachers, family teachers, kids teachers? How about those who have through the years led the women's Bible studies? These are things we can give thanks for. These are things that we can recount one generation to another generation, that there are people who sacrifice for the good of the church. How about that long and sacrificial service of most of you toward the church in Colville? How about those who have served many years as the stewards of our finances? How about this great place to worship and the great relationship we have with this church? He has sustained us, and he has carried us along. We've had our doubts. We have had our struggles. Our faith has wavered for sure. And yet the Lord has remained faithful, and he has used us, this little band of weak vessels. Saints, it is good to remember these things. Psalm 145 says, it is good to recount and then to remember and to give thanks so that the kids can hear, the children can hear. This is what it means to live in the church. This is what it means to not live just for yourself, but to take on a church body, to live for a church body, and to sacrifice and to use the gifts and the resources that God has given us. Beloved, there is so much to say. Thanksgiving puts God in his rightful place. When we thank God, we are acknowledging him as the source, the beginning, the middle, and the end of all good things. Puts us in our place. When we give thanks, it is an open acknowledgement of how needy and dependent we really are upon God, and that it is pleasing to him when his people offer up the sacrifice of thanksgiving. When we give thanks for others, it humbles us. It gives us peace and joy as we see what God is doing in the lives of others. When we give thanks for others, saints, that increases our unity together. It increases the love and the appreciation that we have for one another. And thanksgiving can heal wounds. Beloved, recount the Lord's good deeds. Declare them. Give thanks in all things, in the little things and in the big things, for who God is, for what God has done, for what God is doing, and for what God is going to do. May our God be praised, and may we lift up our hearts and our voices and our lives in thanksgiving to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Even so may it be. Amen. Let's pray together. Our God, we have recounted your marvelous deeds this day, and the many ways in which we ought to give thanks, and for the many things which we ought to lift up our voices in gratitude. Forgive us when we do not render all that is due to your holy name. Forgive us when we do not give to you all the gratitude that is due to your good name. But we do thank you, as weak as our thankfulness may be. We praise and bless you. And we pray that the next generation may hear, that they may know, that they too may come to give thanks with us, to rejoice in your provisions, both great and small, both little and big. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his love and compassion for us. We thank you for his faithfulness. We thank you that his obedience did not waver, but to the cross he went for us, taking our sins, dying for them. We thank you for his glorious resurrection, for his ascension into heaven. We thank you that he is our prophet, our priest, and our king, and that he rules and defends us, and that he speaks to us, and that he prays for us. And we thank you for what is coming. We know that there is a day coming in which you will bring history to a close, and that you will usher in a new heavens and a new earth, and we will be in your kingdom forever and ever. We thank you, our God, for the certainty of what is coming. We thank you for the power that only you have to preserve and strengthen us until that day. We thank you for all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.